that time.
But we haven't got into any scripture. So I just want to cover briefly a couple things that talk about the special gift that God has given each and every one of us. Each and every person in the world has been given this gift. We have many people tonight, visitors and guests and relatives. And it's fantastic to have you here. Thank you so much for coming. So I just want to read briefly about some things that God's Word tells us. What's happening in the Old Testament in Isaiah. And in Isaiah 9, verse 2, it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." They're talking about where they are right now, but they're talking about looking at the future. When they walk in darkness, a light has come. And then when we move on down, that great light, it's no doubt about it. It said it has come. There's no question in it. It has shined, and it has shined brightly into the darkness. Then when we flip over in Isaiah chapter 60, there's even more. They're talking about the future and what's coming in the future. And it's fantastic in chapter 60, verse 1 of Isaiah. It says, "Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." Two action words it tells us to do right then. Arise, and then when we arise, do what? Shine. When we get up, we have to shine. Those are things that they're telling us to do right there. We're doing this because the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. The glory of the Lord is risen upon those that believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. We don't have to worry about walking in darkness anymore. We don't have to worry about our family members and our friends walking in darkness anymore. For the light has come. The light has come for me. The light has come for you. It has come for our family, for our friends, for our coworkers. The light has come to take into distant lands. The light has come to take down the street. The light has come for all of us. And then in Luke chapter 2, the traditional Christmas story. And I mentioned a couple Sundays ago, we have a young man at the age of 91 that's down in Norman in the Veterans Center. And I went down and I read him the Christmas story. And I read it because it's full of hope. It tells us to have hope. It is our hope. And I just explained that this guy to me reflects hope because he's 91 in the VA center, looking forward to the day that he gets to go home. And not to his Heavenly Father. He's planning on going back home to his house to tend to his cattle that he has out there at 91. Amen? We're excited about that. So Luke chapter 2 says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." And it talks about the census that they have to go take. It says, "Joseph also went up to Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child." So it talks about them going on there. And in verse 8 it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." Shepherds had to stay with their flocks day and night. "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." Remember, we just read, "Arise, shine, for the light has come, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon us." And out there in the fields, out where you are, the glory of the Lord is shining for you as well. And it is risen where you are, in your workplace, in your home life, in your school life, the things that you go through day in and day out. "They were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which will be to all people.'" Not just half of these people on the left or the right, but to all people. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, for you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And I thought, how fascinating that he chooses to go to people that can't just stop what they're doing, They have to stay with their flock, but he chose shepherds to reveal the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. So that's kind of the history of what's going on. We had a proclamation that said people walked in darkness, but upon them a great light has shined. And then it says, arise, shine. Two action words he calls us to do in the Old Testament. For the light has come. We don't have to wait and sit in darkness anymore. We don't have to worry about it. The light has come. No more waiting. And then I want to flip over to John chapter 1. And it's a little different. But I thought, great, the light has come. Arise, shine. What does that mean to us? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing made. Nothing was made that was made. Sounds like a little one of these things. Nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. The darkness could not overtake it. It could not overpower it. It couldn't understand it. But in him was life, and life was light. I thought, how great is that? The light shines in darkness. We'd be sitting here fumbling around trying to find our way out right now if all the lights went out. But as light, Jesus reveals to us two things. And they're on opposite ends. Jesus is light in our life, reveals to us God, and he reveals to us sin in our life. And then through that crazy thing we call free will, he allows us to choose. He allows us to choose between the two. He shows us both. He shows and reveals God. And then he shows us our sin. In all honesty, I'm really thankful for that, because if it wasn't for that light, we'd be walking in our sin having no idea sometime. We'd have no idea we needed to turn around. So we go on in verse 6. And it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. This man was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Amen. It's pretty simple. The birth of our Savior Jesus Christ was fulfilling a promise from long ago. He has come as a light, and as such come as life as well. And in coming in those things, he calls us to do what John did. He didn't call us to be the light. He called us to bear witness to the light. He calls us to bear witness to the light. You know, there's an author, John E. Troll, and he wrote about a story talking about a primitive nation and tribe located deep in the South American jungles. And as we close tonight, I just want you to hear this story and understand how it relates to this. It says, anthropologists learned the most important role within that tribe was keeper of the flame. Since fire was so precious back then, they had one task, and they entrusted one person to be keeper of the flame. The responsibility of keeping the fire alive as they moved from place to place and as they slept in the evening time. One person had to stay and keep that fire alive. Folks, today we have that same responsibility, each one of us, though. And that's to keep the fire alive. As we close tonight and light these candles, I just want us to remember that. Jesus Christ was born as life and light to each one of us. Our job is to be a keeper of the flame and bear witness of that light. That light. That when people look at us, they see the light and life of Jesus Christ reflected in our actions. Again, in just a moment, we're going to light these candles. We're going to stay in our seats. We're going to sing. And then when all has been sung, we'll just hum that. And what we'll do, starting in the front row, we'll just allow you to leave and blow your candle out at the door over here. And we ask that you just remain silent till each person is out in the hallway. And we close the service in silence and in just this light. We're going to sing Silent Night as we do that. And when we sing that, if you would, go ahead and stand to your feet as we prepare. And again, once that light is lit, hold it up, and the person will put their candle in sideways to yours and light that. And Eric and Helen will come around and light your candles. And again, we ask that you lift your voices up as we sing this. this time we'll just hum.
Silence my
Heavenly Father, we just ask you tonight to be with each and every person here. Lord, we ask you to be with those traveling tonight. Lord, we ask you to be with those families who have people that are trapped, those people that are far. Lord, we ask you to be with our troops this evening. Lord, be with their families. Lift them up. Put your hedge of protection around them. Lord, for those that are missing people in their life, missing those loved ones that they've lost, we ask you to give them comfort and peace. We ask you during this special night, Lord, to show your love and your comfort and your peace like only you can. We ask these in Jesus' name, amen.